Very good morning to see you today. So thankful for you being here. As we begin, let's pray and ask our Father's favor at this time. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we as your people truly ask that your name will be exalted above all names here this day and in our lives. Father, we pray that souls today will be saved and rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of your most beloved Son. Lord, we pray that you would make us more like Christ. We pray that you would teach us better how to pray. Lord God, I pray you would help me to speak forth your truth and love and grace with boldness and clarity. Lord, help your people to receive it, to believe it, and Lord God, by your grace to live it. Lord, we ask all these things for your glory and your kingdom. And it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. As God's people, as we gather here on this Sunday morning, we gather again to learn from our Savior here in the Gospel of Luke in Luke chapter 11. So if you would, please turn to Luke chapter 11 again. Luke chapter 11. Well, we're going to continue to learn more from our Savior about prayer. Remember, we're learning to pray. And we're going to do that here in Luke chapter 11, where this morning we're going to focus on verse 3, but I want to read verses 1 through 4 for you to set the context in which this is given to us. It says, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Clearly, as you read through that passage, when we come to verse 3, we see in verse 3 and 4, there are three petitions that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples that I believe he's teaching us even today that we need to make sure are a part of our prayer life. Things we ask for ourselves. Things we ask for each other. If you recall, if you were with us last Sunday, we focused in on verse 2 about hallowed be your name and your kingdom come, where we saw the priority of our prayers is to focus first and foremost on God himself, where we're coming to him and we're asking of God, for God, about his name, his glory, his kingdom, in his honor. Today we're asking now about ourselves. And when we look at these three petitions, clearly when you look back in verse 3 that we're going to talk about today, it's speaking about food, asking for food. When you look into verse 4, we see it is asking about forgiveness. And then in verse 4 as well, the last part is talking about asking about what I call our fight against sin. Our fight against sin, temptation. But even as we're going to look at these, it's more than just about food, it's going to be about our faith. And the forgiveness here is not just about forgiveness, it's about our fellowship with God and with one another. And in our fight against sin, it's really also going to be about our faithfulness to God as we seek to follow after our Lord Jesus Christ. But clearly in these three petitions, it is covering our lives physically and spiritually. And that is a reminder that we are totally dependent upon God for both needs, for both aspects of our lives. You see, all three of these petitions are relevant in addressing needs that every person here today has in their life. I mean, is anyone here today who doesn't need food? Is there anyone here today who doesn't need forgiveness? Is there anyone here today who doesn't need help in their fight against sin and temptation? I hope every one of us here would answer, we're all in need of these things in our life. And the Lord God knows that. And this should remind us again that God made us materially and immaterially. God made us with a body, but also with a soul or with a spirit. Thus, we have physical needs and we have spiritual needs. And God cares about us as a whole, not just our physical or not just our spiritual. He cares about the whole person of who we are, the physical or the material, as well as the spiritual and the immaterial aspects of our life. This morning, we're going to focus in on verse 3, on that first petition that clearly is dealing with our physical, the material part of our lives, when he says, give us each day our daily bread. Clearly, this petition is about food, but as I said, it is about also our faith in God when it comes to the physical needs in our lives. So in that sense, it even is a spiritual issue for all of us as well. Now, when you read that statement, give us each day our daily bread, there is much to learn, because when we focus now on every word or phrase of this simple statement and petition, it is profound. It's covering more than what we may think. And the first thing I want you to recognize in this prayer and this petition that the Lord is teaching his disciples and teaching us is the contents of this petition. The contents of this petition. I mean, what are we praying for? And clearly, he says, we're praying for bread. What are we praying for? We're praying for bread. And I start here, beloved, because in the original language, when Jesus spoke this and when Luke wrote it, actually bread is the first thing he brings up. Literally, what he says is, the bread of us daily, give us each day. Or our daily bread, give us each day. Bread was and is a basic necessity for the sustaining of physical life. Thus, beloved, God cares about our physical needs, and we are dependent upon God for our physical needs. When you see the word bread there, bread stands for more than just a loaf of bread. Bread really speaks to all of the basic necessities for sustaining our life and for sustaining us physically. It even includes all the things that we must do and we need to get the bread, to have these basic necessities of life. It includes not only what we eat, but what we drink. It includes our clothing. It includes our shelter. So when he's saying you're praying and you're asking God to give you bread, the contents of this petition would include also praying about your health, praying about your jobs, praying about any business endeavors that you have, praying about skills and abilities in your education to be able to make money, praying about opportunities to work, praying about even your ability and means to travel, because we can't work unless we're able to travel. It even speaks about praying about the weather that can affect your livelihood, praying about opportunities to work, praying about your clothing, praying about your home, praying about your shelter. Oh, beloved, we are to bring all these things to our God in prayer. Because when we pray for any of these things, we are praying this petition, Father, give us our daily bread. So I want you to understand just what all is involved in this praying for bread. But now that we understand that, I want us to go through several requirements that I believe are necessary when we come to God with this particular petition. When we're coming to God and asking Him, Father, give us our daily bread. And the first requirement is the most obvious, I believe, and it has to do with the idea of faith that I spoke about. And that it requires a confidence in God. You and I must have a confidence in God when we bring this petition to Him. And that goes back to that word of give. We're asking the Father to give us our daily bread. Behind that must be a confidence, a faith in God, and listen carefully, not a faith in ourselves. It's about our belief in His goodness. It's about our confidence in His character as our Father. It's about our confidence in His capability as our Father. Really, beloved, this would go back to Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that idea of want there is, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not lack anything of need. Anything that I need, I will not lack because the Lord God is my shepherd. He's the one that will provide me the green pastures. He's the one that provide me the still waters that I would need. It's just a reminder again. Remember, sheep live with a total dependence on their shepherd. And beloved, we're sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. And we are dependent upon Him. Even for the basic necessities of life. Now here's why I think we can struggle with this. On one hand, some of us, or even all of us at some times in our life, can struggle with the sin of worry. The sin of worry in this area of our life. And Jesus Himself addresses this very issue for us over in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, and verses 25 to 34, where there He says, you don't need to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't need to worry about what you're going to drink. You don't need to worry about what you're going to wear. You don't need to worry about all those basic necessities of life. All we have to do is look around us, look at the birds of the air. Does God feed them? Yes. I mean, we can look around at the beauties of the beauty of the flowers and the lilies that are around us. Does God make sure they're taken care of? Yes. So are we more valuable than God? Then yes. So that's why Jesus says, well, then don't worry about those basic necessities in that way. But what do? We seek first His kingdom. We seek our Lord and trust that He will add all those things to us as we do that. That's why I say, asking this prayer, we must come with a confidence in God, a faith in God and His character and His capability to meet this need. But I think probably it's the opposite of worry that most of us would probably struggle with in this prayer, in this petition. And that is pride. That is self-dependence. You see, I don't think we will struggle recognizing our need to ask God, God, you need to forgive me. I need your forgiveness. And not only that, I need help in being able to forgive other people too. Because I can struggle with that. I know I can't do that on my own. And not only that, Lord, I know in my fight against sin and against temptation, Lord, I know I'm weak and I know I struggle and I know I fail. And I need you to lead me not into temptation. I need you to protect me. I need you to walk with me, Lord. I can't do this on my own. I know that. But I think when it comes to our food, or our clothing, our shelter, I think we can have more of a self, an independent attitude of, Lord, I can do that. I can do that. I'm not saying we actually say that out loud, but basically it comes down to this. If we're not praying and asking the Lord God to give us our daily bread, that's what we're saying. We're saying, Lord, I got it. I'll take care of it. I can take care of me and my family and my home and our clothes and our food. I can work. I can always take care of this no matter what. And the Lord, I want us to see from this, is what Jesus was teaching His disciples and He's teaching us, is that our confidence doesn't need to be in us. Our confidence doesn't even need to be in our job or our employer. Our confidence needs to be in the Lord God Himself. Everything we have is from Him. Thus, beloved, go to Him confidently and go to Him consistently to give you what you need. And then thank Him often for what you have, because He's the ultimate one who has given it to you. You see, it is, you remember what God told the children of Israel after they've been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years? And we're going to talk about this in a moment, how that's an excellent example of our daily food, that He gave them just enough to eat every day. And then He said, I'm bringing you into a land and you're going to be blessed beyond measure. And He says, I'm warning you that when you come into this land, you're going to forget me. You're going to quit depending on me. And this is the warning I think we need to be reminded of. Remember what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? So let's go back to the contents, okay? From our health to our jobs to our opportunities to our abilities, our skills, our education, our home, our shelter, our clothing, everything and all the things that go into that. We must make sure we don't boast as though we didn't receive it from God. It is all from His loving hand. That's why, beloved, I say at the first requirement is our confidence must be in God, our Father and our Lord and our Savior, when we come with this petition. That is really what you're acknowledging. Lord God, I need You to give me my daily bread. A second requirement I think is necessary in when we bring this petition to the Lord. I call it our concern. Our concern for others in this petition. Notice again, when we go back to verse 3, He says, give us. It's not saying give me, it's saying give us. You see, it's not just about me, but it's about us. It's about you. It's about everyone who is a part of our family. It's about everyone who's a part of our church family. And notice, this concern runs through all three petitions. Give us, forgive us, lead us. Which means, beloved, we're supposed to have a care and a concern for everybody sitting around us. We have a genuine concern for them and a care for them. And it expresses itself in our prayers and our petitions to God on their behalf. So when we hear someone in our church needs prayer for their health, we pray. When we hear they need prayer in regards to their job, we pray. When we hear that they may even have some difficulties in their transportation, we pray. When we know their livelihood can be dependent even on aspects of the weather, we pray. When something's going on even with their home, their structure, we pray. We pray for them and their development on their job. We pray for them for job opportunities. We pray for the economy sometimes because we know that is what people are going to be needing in that regards. Beloved, we are to care and to genuinely be concerned with how everyone else is doing. We pray for them. It reminded me of what Paul says, listen to this, in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 10, he says, to the church at Philippi, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. They were concerned for Paul. Indeed, you were concerned before. It's not that they ever lost concern for Paul, but they just didn't have the opportunity. And once they had the opportunity, they met that need in the life of the Apostle Paul. But I want you to see, he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Why? Because you had a genuine care and concern for my well-being. You were concerned about me. You were concerned about my physical needs. And that's why they met those needs. Beloved, I believe that is a requirement. When we're bringing this prayer, this petition to our Lord, that we have a concern for others. There's a third requirement I want us to see this morning. I call it the commitment to God. I think this petition requires us to have three particular commitments to God. The first one is this. We have a commitment to God to work. Behind this request must be a willingness in our own heart and in our own lives to work and not to be lazy. Not to sit around. I'm not talking about someone disabled. I'm not talking about those who are older and retired. I'm talking about nearly all of us here today. The young, able-bodied people, that when we come and pray for God to provide for us, there must be at the very least us a desire to actively seek to work and actively looking to work. Let me show you a couple of passages in Scripture. I want you to turn with me for just a moment. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. In verse 9, he's talking about them having a love for the brethren. He wants them to practice it. At the end of verse 10, we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. And notice what he says in verse 11 and 12. He wants them to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, attend to your own business, work with your own hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. So when we're coming to God and we're saying, Lord God, give me the daily bread, there has to be something within us where we have also this same ambition to lead this quiet life, attending to our business and working with our own hands so that we won't have a need from others. But if somebody says, well, that's not the way I want to live my life, well, look over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We hear Paul says in verse 6, it says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we don't have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. And listen to this order. If anyone's not willing to work, then he's not to eat either. For we hear that there are some among you that are leading this undisciplined life. You're doing no work at all, but you're just acting like busybodies. Now such persons, what persons? Persons who are living these undisciplined lives, who aren't willing to work. We exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ, work in quiet fashion and eat your own bread. But as for you, those who are not living this undisciplined life, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't go weary in what you're supposed to be doing here. That's why I say, when you look at what Paul says, clearly behind this prayer, Lord, give me your daily bread that I need, must be a commitment in our heart that, Lord God, I'm going to work. I'm going to work. I'm going to be committed to working. A second commitment to God, I believe, behind this prayer is to be willing to share and to help others personally. Again, go back to the prayer itself. Give us. If we're praying for others, if we're praying for the us, then behind that request needs to be a willing to help the us, to help the others. I mean, maybe sometimes it is God's desire to meet the needs in the us through our lives. Yes, as I just pointed out to you from 1 Thessalonians 4 and here in 2 Thessalonians 3, we are to seek to work hard ourselves, depending on the Lord, so as not to be a burden on others so that we don't have any need. But sometimes in our lives, sometimes in our homes, sometimes in our church, needs will happen. Maybe it's from sickness. Maybe it's from an injury. Maybe it's just from health issues. Maybe it's from an accident. Maybe sometimes it's because of a shifting economy. Maybe sometimes it's because of a drought. Maybe it can be because of the persecution of God's people. Whatever the reason may be, sometimes, though someone has a heart to work and they're actively looking to do that, they may have the need of basic necessities of life. And we are to have a heart. If I'm praying, Lord, give them what they need, and they're in need, and I can meet that need, then I should meet it. You see, we can't adopt the attitude that James brings up. Look over in James chapter 2 for a moment. We can't adopt this attitude. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 16, where it says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him?" And obviously the answer to that, he's saying no. And look at the illustration he uses. If a brother or sister is without clothing or in need of daily food. So here's the perfect example. Somebody has some basic necessities of life needs. Daily food, or they just need some basic clothing to cover them. And one of you, here's how he says one of you responds to this. Go in peace. Be warmed and be filled. I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying that those needs will be met in your life. But I'm not going to give you anything for it, though I could. I'm not going to do that. That's what he says. And yet you don't give them what is necessary for their body. What use is that? That's what I mean. We have to have a commitment in our own heart. When we're saying, God, give us each day our daily bread, that there may be times when God's going to have to use us to meet the needs in somebody's life. Oh, beloved, this illustration here should bring you to the book of 1 John. Listen to these words in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 to 18, where it says, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Listen carefully to verse 17. "But whoever has the world's goods and he sees his brother in need and he closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." See, the deed in that situation would be, I possess the world's goods. My brother I see is in need. I'm not going to close my heart. I'm going to help meet that need. Look with me for just a moment over in the book of Ephesians. I want you to look over in Ephesians for a moment. And look at Ephesians chapter 4. And notice this statement that Paul writes by the inspiration of the Spirit in verse 28. Ephesians 4, verse 28. He says, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good." Now, I think we all get that. I mean, here's the picture. There is somebody there. Maybe it's because of their poverty. Whatever it may be, they are stealing from others. And Paul says, stop doing that. Stop stealing and start working. Stop stealing off other people and you start working. Now, obviously, the part of the working there is to meet your own needs. But notice he doesn't stop there. He says, you work with your own hands what is good so that, here's the reason why, he will have something to share with the one who has a need. You see, it's more than just about my needs, it's about other people's needs. So think about the picture. He's saying, stop taking from people, start working, and then you start giving to people. A part of why we work is so that we can meet the needs in our life, but also, beloved, so that we can meet the needs of those who are around us at times. That's why I say again, this commitment must be there. If I'm asking God to give me and I'm asking God to give you your daily food, there must be some commitment that is there that says, Lord God, if you bless me with more than what I need and there's a need that comes up that I know, I will move to meet that need. Because that's one of the reasons why I'm supposed to even be working. Just to finish out this point on this commitment, just for just a second, turn back to the Gospel of Matthew and go to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew 25, when Jesus is speaking about his return, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and he brings about the judgment. And he says, verse 34, then the king will say to those who are on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And notice what he says in verse 35, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. You did it to me. You see? When we are meeting the needs in other people's lives, and look at all these basic necessities of life right here, sometimes just the basic necessity of life is just visiting somebody. Making sure they're okay. Jesus says, when you do it to them, it's like you're doing it to me. So this is why I say this commitment must be there to share and help others personally. There's a third commitment I want to bring to your attention. And that is the commitment to support the body of Christ, to support the church. That is, there needs to be a commitment to use the skills, the abilities, the financial support. They're in the body of Christ. Because in doing that, you're helping to meet needs of others in the body of Christ. Clearly, as you know, you're helping to meet the needs of those that are preaching and teaching the Word of God. Whether it's from the pastor, someone like me, or someone like Reagan Eddins and his family that we're helping to support. But also, there's even times where money that's coming in that can be used to meet special needs in the body of Christ. Financial burdens, physical burdens, whatever it may be. And that brings me back to remember what Paul said to that church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4. He said, you lacked the opportunity, but then when the opportunity came back, you revived your concern for me. And he goes on to describe there in chapter 4, you entered into my affliction. You entered into my suffering. You entered into my needs and you met my need. Your financial gift met my need. Because you as a church collectively used the resources that God had blessed you with to give to the church to meet the needs of me. And he's saying, I'm thanking God for that for you. We know from the book of Acts, whether it's in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, where it says that if anyone was in need, they met the need. They just met the need. And they would come, remember, they'd come and give it to the apostles and lay it at the apostles' feet. And then the apostles were there to help to organize and how those funds and the resources and the things that were coming in were being distributed out to meet the needs in the church. And, of course, that's one of the problems they ended up having because some widows were being overlooked, some basic necessities of life that they were in need of at that time. Oh, beloved, this is a part of it too. So that when you and I pray, Father, give us each day our daily bread. Behind that is a commitment to work, to share, and to support the body of Christ. I want to go back to our text in Luke 11 now. I want us to look at the next requirement, the fourth requirement. And this requirement is to commune with God. Commune with God must be behind this petition. This desire just to commune with Him. And I say that, one, because the word give there is in the present tense. So He's saying, Jesus is telling them, continually come to the Father and ask Him for this. Continually come and commune and talk with God about this. And notice, remember, we're asking about daily bread. And notice again, give us each day. Each day. So He's saying, come and commune with God daily. Oh, beloved, may I encourage you to do this. At the beginning of the day, talk with God. And pray about your health. Pray about your travel. Pray about your work for that day. Pray about your job. Pray about your opportunities. Pray about your safety. Pray about your health. Pray about all these things that are involved in the bread and the basic necessities of your life. Pray about them. And then when you come to the end of each day, go back and talk to God again and say, Lord God, I thank You. You met my needs. And Lord, if You will, if it's Your will, I'll see You in the morning. And I want to come talk to You again. And when I do, I'm going to come ask You, Father, give me again this day the things that I need. Oh, beloved, clearly in this is Jesus teaching that there should be this desire to commune with God on a daily basis. To commune with God as our Father that we're depending on. And not just come and listen carefully. Here's why this is so important. Because here's what God's people can tend to do. We can get into dire and desperate situations. And then we will come to God. But here Jesus is saying, do it every day. I mean, do it whenever you walk in and you look at your pantry and it's full. And you open up your refrigerator and it's full. And you open up your freezer and it's full. You still go to God every day and commune with Him. And you ask Him, Father, give me what I need. Why? Because you don't think all that can't be wiped away just like that? Of course it can. All that can be gone just like that. We're thankful to our Lord. Oh, beloved, every day we're dependent upon Him. Every day your Father wants to hear from you. He wants you to come to Him and ask Him for what you need. Because think about this. This is why I say the communion with God's a part of this. Because when you're coming and asking God for this and you're bringing this to His attention, does God not already know what you need before you ask Him? Yes, He does. You know that. He knows what you need. So you're not coming, we're not coming to God to inform God. We're coming to worship God. We're coming to commune with God. We're coming to show our confidence in God. That's a part of this prayer. Our confidence in Him, our concern for others, our communing with God. But let me share one other requirement. It's your contentment with God. Your contentment with God when you bring this prayer. That comes to us in two ways in verse 3. One, He says, each day. Each day. So what I'm asking for is for that day. Each day, Lord, on this day. And then when he says, our daily bread, that idea daily there, I believe is speaking to what is necessary, what is sufficient for that day. Lord God, will you give me what is sufficient for me and for my family and for our people here today? Will you give that to us each day? Just what is sufficient? What is necessary for me? Let me show you a prayer that falls right in line with this. If you want to turn with me for just a quick moment, look over in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 30. In Proverbs chapter 30, listen to what this prayer is. Verse 7 through 9. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 says, two things I ask of you, Lord. Don't refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. We can all agree with that. But then he says, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Uh-oh. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord, or that I would not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. He basically is praying this prayer. Lord, just give me what I need for this day, and I am satisfied. I am, because I am content with you, Lord God. I'm content. Notice he said, what was the driving factor in that prayer? The name of God. I don't want too much and I don't want too little, because Lord, I just want to make sure my life honors and exalts and hallows the name of God. I'll be content with the daily necessities of life. See, I think we must watch ourselves. Because again, like the children of Israel in the wilderness, did God meet their daily needs? Yes. Remember, he brought the manna down from heaven through the dew that was on the ground. And yes, when you go back and you look at it from Exodus chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, and even there in verse 35, for 40 years they would go out and they were to get only what was needed for them and their family on that day. And if they said, we're going to try to get more and keep it, what happened? It ruined. I mean, they were living literally for 40 years by the daily bread that God was providing for them, and that bread was each day enough for them to satisfy them. And that's why it even says in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 2 in verse 7, when God's recounting for them what he did for them, he says, for those 40 years in the wilderness I was with you, and he says, you never lacked for anything. You never lacked. But you remember, they went through a period there where they weren't content with that. They weren't content with that. Were their needs met? Absolutely. But they wanted more. They wanted more. And in fact, they even sometimes began to look back to their time in slavery in Egypt and say, we'd rather go back to that. We had better things to eat, better things to drink back there when we were slaves. So I would almost give up my freedom to go back to get some better food. We're tired of eating this manna. We're tired of eating the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. We want some variety, Lord. We want something different. We want something more. There was a lack of contentment in their hearts for God and his provision. We need to watch that in our own hearts. We need to remember what the Apostle Paul says over in 1 Timothy in chapter 6, in verse 7 and 8, where he says, godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment, for we have brought nothing into this world, And we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food, if we have covering, with these we shall be content. I'm content. I have the necessity of food. I have the necessity of clothing. I have the necessity of drink. I have the necessity of shelter. And he goes on to say in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but fix their hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy, and instruct them to do good. Instruct them to be rich in good works. Instruct them to be generous, and instruct them to be ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. What is he saying? He's saying, look, first off, he's saying, look, when we have more than what we need, Paul's saying, look, it is okay for us as God's people to enjoy what God's given us. But my question, I think, for us sometimes is to ask ourselves, how rich am I in doing good? How rich am I in being generous? How rich am I in sharing with others? That is, how rich am I in the future? Because notice, we're storing up treasure in the future by how we use the resources and the abilities and the means that God's given us in this present life and in this present world. It's the same thing that Jesus taught back in the Gospels. Store up treasure for yourselves in heaven where the thieves can't break in and steal. Use what God's given you in that way. Oh, beloved, we have to do this truly. We really have to come to the same place that the Apostle Paul came to. Listen to this as we kind of begin to wrap this up. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, I thank God in verse 10 because you've revived your concern for me, but he wanted them to understand. I'm not speaking from want in verse 11. Here's why, because I've learned. Paul says, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to get along when I live in prosperity. He said, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of having abundance and suffering need. How, he says, I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul had learned, I am content. I am just simply content with the basic necessities of life that the Lord God may provide me. And there's times in my life when I'm living in need and God meets those needs through other people. And there's times in my life, Paul says, I'm living with an abundance and I have to learn how to be content with just being satisfied with the basic necessities of life and know how to live in that way as well. But when we ask this prayer, give us this day and give us each day our daily bread, there must be in that prayer a contentment with God. Beloved, this is a lot. There is a lot involved in this single petition. Give us each day our daily bread. There's a lot of content that can fall into that. There are these requirements. Our confidence in God, our concern for others, our commitments to God, the requirement of our communing with God, of our contentment with God. Probably for all of us here today, in some capacity from each of these areas, we need to ask forgiveness from God. And we need to ask Him to help us in our fight against sin and temptation in this part of our life. And we need for Him and ask Him to help us to make some changes. Maybe the change is just in our attitude, in our asking, our activities, our approach to the necessities of life. That's my longing for us as believers here today. But I also want to say this in closing today, that spiritually, the Lord God, the Heavenly Father, has provided everything that you and I need for salvation, for life and godliness. And He provided it because He sent the true bread out of heaven in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent His Son. That's the true bread out of heaven. And He says, eat of Him. Drink of Him. Obviously not literally, but as He explains, by believing in Him, coming to Him, putting all your hope, all your faith, all your confidence in Him, that as you're putting your life and your eternal soul in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He lived a sinless life, and He went and offered Himself as the sacrificial death for your sins, and God raised Him from the dead. See, when I say the Father sent the true bread of heaven, the true bread out of heaven, He came down from heaven. He took on flesh. Virgin conceived and born. And He was born into this world. And as a Jew, He lived perfectly under the law of God. And He kept it perfectly. But even beyond that, beloved, He lived in perfect submission, perfect obedience to the will of His Heavenly Father. And the apex of that obedience, the apex of that submission to the will of His Father, was His death on the cross. Because that was the Father's will for Him. To come and suffer in our place. To come and satisfy the wrath of God that we so justly deserve for our sins. And God raised Him from the dead, declaring He was vindicated. And those that will put their faith in Jesus, when you recognize you're a sinner separated from God and your only hope is in Christ, the true bread that's come out of heaven, well, beloved, you had to put all your hope, all your faith, all your confidence, everything in Him. You must consume Him in that way. Consume the bread from heaven for life eternal with God, for the forgiveness of your sins, to be reconciled with God. That's the only way. It's the only way. And if that's something you've never done, that is where it must start. Because even this very prayer, if you remember, when we say Father, that's the spiritual children of God. And you're only the spiritual child of God if you've truly repented and put your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and as your Lord. Because if not, when you pray the prayer, oh God, give me my daily bread, you're not His child. You need to become His child, first and foremost. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer for a moment. And if you are here today, you've never trusted Christ, well, I plead with you and beg you to do that. That's how you eat of Him. It's how you drink of Him. That's how you come to Him. You believe upon Him. The truth I just shared with you about Him, how He got here, His life, sinless life, His death on the cross, satisfying the wrath of God, Him being raised from the dead. You need to call out to God through Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and trust Him. But for us as believers, take a few moments. Things that God may have convicted you about.
Begin to confess them now. Ask God's forgiveness. Ask for God's help. That you make a commitment to begin to change according to God's word. Gracious God, I pray you'll continue to work in hearts here today. For those who are in need of salvation, Lord, I pray you're convicting, you're drawing, you're working in an effectual way in their hearts to come to you. Lord, I pray for us as believers that you would help us, Lord, to be faithful to pray this prayer. The vast contents that it involves, the requirements it involves. And Lord, where you may have shown us where we're falling short, help us to seek your forgiveness. And help us, Lord, to seek true repentance and change, that we may honor your name. So Lord, bless your word for your name and your glory. And it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.